Have your Bible, you can turn with me this morning to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 4. Chapters 3 and 4 of Exodus, we find Moses giving the Lord five excuses why he does not want to obey God's commandment to bring forth the children of Israel out of bondage in the land of Egypt. It was 2 weeks ago that we examined the first two. Moses, here in chapter 3, had replied to the Lord by saying in verse 10, "Here am I! Here am I!" It was only after hearing what God wanted him to do does he begin to show contempt towards God by making excuses for not going. We are on point four, and we're talking about today Moses' contempt. First of all, there was Moses' contempt and seen in his first excuse. That was chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Remember what he asked? He says, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh?" And we noted how Moses was focusing on his own ability, when he should have been focusing on the Lord's ability to work in and through him. Whereas Moses' response was one of contempt, God's response was one of compassion. Look at verse 12. He says, "Certainly, I will be with thee. Certainly, I will be with thee." Well, that was followed by Moses' contempt and seen in a second excuse in chapter 3, verses 13 all the way through 22. Moses' second excuse, "Who shall I tell them that sent me?" It's a loose paraphrase of verse 13. Question, not so much his own ability as in the first excuse, but now he was questioning his authority. God reminds Moses that he's the creation God. I am. And that he's the covenant God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there in verses 14 and verse 15. Then we noted in verses 16 through 22 that the Lord once again seeks to reassure Moses that the one who is sending him, why, he's omniscient. Verse 16, why, he's the present. Verse 19, and that he is omnipotent in verse 20. God assures Moses that because of who he was and what he would do, why, the king of Egypt will let you go, he says in verse 20. And the people of Egypt, they will let you go with their possessions, verses 21 and 22. And we could put these two purposes as a reminder from what we've just rehearsed in our minds. To keep fear from paralyzing me and keeping me from serving the Lord effectively, I purpose by faith. What do you need to do? You need to acknowledge and you need to accept that your ability, and my authority to serve God comes from the Lord. And then a minor purpose is this. I purpose to believe what God says shall come to pass. Well, having been comforted by the Lord with these promises, do you think Moses now is ready to obey? Well, we're going to see now Moses' contempt as seen in his third excuse here in chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. First note, Moses' response. Look at Moses' response in verse 1. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Now the "they" is a reference to the elders of Israel, and not to Pharaoh and to his officers. Now we know this by verse 5, because down in verse 5, the "they" is a strong reference to the Israelites. This is a terrible response from Moses. What makes this such a heinous excuse? Well, he's saying here that the elders will not believe nor hearken unto me. Flash back with me to chapter 3, verse 18. God says, "And they," that's the elders, "shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt." So what was he calling God? He's calling him a what? Call him a liar. He was calling into question the very character of God, his omnipresence, his omniscience, his omnipotence. The primary evidence that you and I doubt the character of God can be seen in our lack of faith towards him and towards his words. Notice our purpose. You know what? I purpose not to call God a liar by doubting him and his word. Well, we saw Moses' response in verse 1. Look at God's response. Today, we are learning something more about the character of God. Every time you open up your Bible, you should learn something more about the character of your God and something more about your own character. We're going to learn something about our character of our God today. We're going to learn that he is long-suffering and he's patient. This morning in your place of meditation in 2 Peter chapter 3, we learn God is long-suffering towards the saved, that they might repent. We read verse 9. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering. They were questioning whether the Lord was coming. He says he's long-suffering to usward. Talking about Christians, not willing that any should perish, but they should all come to repentance. Four times in that chapter, chapter 3, he refers to them as the brethren. He's talking first and foremost to Christians. And God is, he's saying he's long-suffering. He wants every Christian to come to repentance. We're going to take the Lord's Supper today. It gives us a time to examine ourselves and to come to repentance. God is long-suffering that we would come to repentance. But we also noted in our reading this morning, Frank read from 1 Peter 3, and we heard how Lord is long-suffering that the unsaved might repent. We read these words, verse 20, "which sometime they were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah," waited, I guess so, 120 years, "while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water." Our God is long-suffering. He's long-suffering towards Christians. He's long-suffering towards the unbeliever. God is long-suffering. In our present text, we will see how patient the Lord is going to be towards Moses. Here, we're going to see the Lord's going to assure him again that he'll go with him. And he's going to give him a sign that he will know that indeed the Lord will go with him. He's not going to give him one sign. He's not going to give him two signs. He's going to give him three signs in assuring him, "I'm going to be with you." Look at the first sign that it gives him here in verses 2 through 5. "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thy hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it." And the Lord said to Moses, "Put forth thy hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand, he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they might believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Now we noted a couple of weeks ago that the first sign that God gave to Moses that he was going with him was a sign that he was not going to experience until after he had delivered the people. Remember how he had told them in chapter 3, verse 12, "You're going to come back and worship me right here on the same mount." Now, that was going to be a sign, but it was going to be a sign that he wasn't going to receive until after he delivered the people. The signs that he's about to give them now are signs that are going to happen before he delivers them. The Lord asked Moses what he had in his hand. And Moses, he tells him it's a rod. The Lord then commands him to cast it on the ground. And Moses obeyed and he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent, from which we're told in the scripture, Moses fled away, most likely believing in his mind that it was what kind of a snake? Poisonous. You know, one step kind of snake. You betcha it took one step and that's it. Now, I know there's some of you in here, it wouldn't matter what kind of snake it was. It could be this little big, little greeny snake. It wouldn't matter. And you'd still run from it. But I'm believing that Moses, this is a poisonous snake. When Moses saw it, he fled from it. God then commands Moses to put forth his hand and grab it by the tail. I want to tell you something. As a young boy, I caught a lot of snakes by the tail. But after about the third or fourth snake, I began to learn something about snakes. You can grab them by the tail, but they can get right up here, wrap around your arm, and bite you, nevertheless. So I learned not to grab them by the tail. I grabbed them behind the what? I grabbed behind the neck so they couldn't bite me. Now God says to Moses, Moses, grab him by the tail. What character quality do you think God was seeking to instill into Moses when he tells him to grab that snake, that poisonous snake, by the tail? Faith? No, it wasn't stupidity. It was faith, all right? God was testing his faith in God. Nothing was going to happen to Moses, for God had already told Moses that he'd chosen him to bring his people out of the land of Egypt. Got faith to believe that, Moses? Grab that serpent. And what was Moses' response? Well, we read here in verse 4, and he put forth his hand, he caught it. And where did the snake bite him? Well, he said it didn't. It turned back into a rod. And why had God given to Moses this sign? Focus again with me on verse 5. That. Why? That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. The very purpose of the sign was to give Moses confidence that the elders of Israel would acknowledge that the God of their fathers had indeed appeared unto him. Well, that kind of moved me to look at this purpose. Take a look at it on your sheet. You know what? When others doubt my word, I purpose to show patience towards them and give them a sign that my words can be trusted. You ever done that? You know, you've seen the picture of a dad. He's here and he's telling his son to jump into his arms. It might be a little higher, but he's saying, jump here. And the boy says, scared, the girl's scared, they don't want to jump. So does the dad get impatient? I said jump. Quit being a fool. Get it, jump right now. Well, what can a dad do to give him a sign to give him some confidence to jump? Maybe dad could do something like this, huh? Hey, feel that. Oh, whoa, that's strong, huh? Come on, jump. There's things that we can do to encourage the faith of others, to give them a sign. But sometimes we just get impatient, don't we? I said it, you do it. I told you, Moses, go. Why are you giving me all this grief? We see his compassionate heart and give him a sign. When was the last time you gave someone a sign to increase their faith. Motivate them to jump into your arms. God had demonstrated to Moses that God had power over the serpent, which may have been symbolic of Satan. So God had power over demons, but watch this. He also had power over disease. The Lord's long-suffering in giving him a second sign. Look at this here in verses 6 through 8. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and he took it out, and behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to thy voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So here we see Moses being commanded of God, put his hand into his bosom. He puts it in. And when he draws it out, man, it is leprous. Leprosy, we know, can be a very contagious disease. It affects the skin. It affects the nerves. It causes discoloration. It causes lumps in the skin. And in severe cases, it can even cause disfigurement and deformities. Well, out comes this hand full of leprosy. God then commands Moses to put his hand back into his bosom. Moses obeys, and when he draws it out, it's just like the flesh of his other hand. He's healed. And why did God give him the second sign? Verse 8, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. We're told here that God gave it to Moses to assure him that if they didn't believe the first sign, they would certainly, certainly believe the second sign. Isn't it interesting how God indicates that these signs are in fact the voice of Moses, which in turn is the voice of God? Look at your purpose. Because when we do God's commands, because when we do what God commands us to do, it's the voice of God speaking unto others by our actions, okay? I purpose to be obedient to God's word, as obedient as I can. Why? That others might hear the Lord's voice. Now, here's the proof text. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. Let me read it to you. Likewise, ye wives, I want you to be in subjection to your own husbands. Why? That if any obey not the word, they also, without the word, might be won. How? By the conversation, by the behavior of their wives. Why they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. A wife can be a walking testimony of God's word by her behavior. And such a testimony that it can bring that rebellious husband to repentance. Here's what he's saying here. These signs that you do, your actions that you can do, will be like my voice. Your voice is as my voice. Our actions, my friends, can draw others to him, can convince others of the truth of God and his word. The Lord is now long-suffering in giving to him a third sign here in verse 9. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon dry ground. And the water which thou hast taken out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. God is showing Moses that the Lord, he has power over demons. He has power over disease. And now he's demonstrating that the Lord even has power over deities. Now, why would I say deity? You know what the Nile River was to the Egyptians? It was a god. They worshiped it. They sacrificed in it. It was a god. God was showing Moses. He'd given him power over the devil. He'd given him power over disease. He's given him power over deity. But likewise, God has given to you and I great powers. There's not one of us in this room that does not have a gift from God. We know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We know that from Romans chapter 12. Based on that, look at your purpose. As a child of God, I know that he's gifted me. Therefore, I purpose to serve him with the power that he's given to me. Man, God has given us great powers. We need to use them. Well, surely with these great powers bestowed upon him by the Lord, he now is ready and willing to go. Right? Not quite. Let's look at Moses' contempt as seen by his fourth excuse. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says this, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Do you want to see the degree of contempt Moses is showing towards the Lord and refusing to speak on his behalf because he says that he's not eloquent, but that he is slow of speech, he's slow of tongue. And by the way, the Hebrew word translated slow is also translated heavy. Moses here is arguing that God had not made him quick-witted, quick-thinking with his speech. But I want you to listen to the testimony concerning Moses as given to us in Acts chapter 7, verse 22. You ready? "And Moses, he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds." That's the testimony given concerning Moses. And yet Moses saying, I can't go. I can't think fast enough. I can't speak quickly enough. And again, we see him doubting God's ability, God's authority upon him. Was it that Moses could not speak or that he didn't want to speak on behalf of God? Well, look at the Lord's response, verse 11 and 12. "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." Our long-suffering God asked him two questions. He says, who hath made man's mouth? Then he says, who maketh, watch this, the dumb, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? And before Moses can even utter an answer, God answers for him, "Have not I the Lord?" God then commands him to go with the promise once again that he'll be with his mouth and that he will teach him what he ought to say. What is God implying here? Well, a number of things. One is, Moses, will you stop trusting in yourself and start trusting in me? I can't. Well, Moses, you don't have to trust in yourself. You have to trust in me. Stop trusting in your own ability, in your own authority. Trust in my ability. Trust in my authority in sending you. There's something else that you and I can learn in this passage. Maybe you know someone who was born deaf, dumb, blind. Who made him like that? Who? There's not one of us in this room, not one of us that has the same DNA. Every one of us are different. And who's made us? God's made us. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, he made a mistake with Denny. Yes, he made him taller than me. I wanted to be 6 foot so I could play a little better basketball. You ever complain because you weren't tall? You ever complain because, hey, your vision was maybe not what the vision of others, or your ears, or, my, I think my one ear's a little lower than the other. My nose is not quite the way it ought to be. Now, I remember that I was very conscious of this tooth that sticks out. So when I was in school, I'd take a pen and I'd push on that tooth. I'd push that thing in, you know, because people would say something, so you'd push that tooth in. Now, Mom and Dad didn't have money to get braces. I don't even know if braces were invented at that time. It's been so long. But, I'd push on that tooth and push that thing in. All right? Or use my hand. Now, listen to me. There's some things that you and I can get fixed, all right, that will better improve our ability to communicate the Word of God. I know a preacher who had, because of his lip, he had a lisp. But it was suggested go have the lip fixed, and he went and had the lip fixed, and it improved his communication. People could understand it better. There's nothing wrong with you and I improving things that, you know, we can improve. But the aspect is this. Those things that you and I cannot change, we need to learn to what? Accept them. And be thankful for them. Who maketh thee to see? That's right. God does. Who maketh thee to speak? Moses. That's right, Lord. You do. Matthew. Chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. These are the Lord's words. He's speaking to the 12. He's sending them forth. Okay, here's what he says. But when they deliver you up, take no thought of how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. That's the same Spirit that indwells you and I, people. Look at your long purpose that I put here. Because God hath given me power. Now, I looked up the word power, and I found he's given us power over second death, Revelation 26. I saw that he's given us power over infirmities. Remember Paul? He could glory even in the midst of his what? Infirmity. He's given us power to be godly. Wow. He's given us power to be strong over the devil, Ephesians 6:10. He's given us power to preach. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, he's given us power to give. 2 Corinthians 8:3, he's given us power to be patient and long-suffering. Colossians 1:11, and because of all this power that God's given to me, I purpose to obey his commandments. And there's other things that he's given us power, but this is sufficient enough to give you understanding of some of the power that God has blessed you with. Well, finally, let's take a look at Moses' contempt as seen in his fifth excuse. First, we see Moses' response, verse 13, and he said, "Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." Though the Lord has assured Moses that he will go with him, that he will be with him, Moses still asked God to send somebody else. It's now we learn something else about our Lord. What we learn now is that, you know, there's a limit even to the patience and long-suffering of our God. Look at the Lord's response, verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite, thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and shalt put in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be the spokesman unto the people, and shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do the signs. And then we read, and Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and he said to him, let me go, I pray thee, return unto my brethren, which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Well, what was God's response? We read here, God got angry with Moses. Wow. Look at your purpose on your sheet when you think of that. Because even God's long-suffering can come to an end. I purpose not to provoke him to anger. I purpose not to provoke others of authority to be provoked to anger. And how do we do that? By refusing to obey. Now, I want to tell you something. God could have killed him like he did Saul for failing to obey him. God could have placed him in a large fish for 3 days, like he did Jonah when he refused to go and to serve him. God has innumerable ways to discipline you and I when we disobey his words. Isn't it interesting? Here we see God choosing to rise up another to help this disobedient servant. He tells Aaron, well, he tells Moses that Aaron can speak well. Now, I wonder how God knew that. Oh, that's right. He's omniscient. He tells Aaron he's coming to meet him. I wonder how he knew that. Oh, that's right. God's omnipotent or omnipresent. But he then tells him he's going to be glad to see him. I don't wonder why he knows that. Because our God is omnipotent. In this passage, he tells Moses he is to speak and tell Aaron what to say. And he will be with Moses' mouth, and he's going to be with Aaron's mouth. He would teach them what to say, but only Moses was to do. Moses would speak to Aaron, being God's mouthpiece. Aaron would speak to the people, being Moses' mouthpiece. But it was only Moses who was to perform the signs. That's what he says in verse 17. It was God's desire, but not his decree, for Moses to do this. If it was God's decree for Moses to do it all, guess what? Moses would have done it all. But we see, because of his fear, because of his lack of faith, Moses is now going to share his burden, but he's also going to share his blessings with Aaron. Look at your purpose. When I perceive someone is really struggling with obeying my commandment, I purpose either come alongside of them or rise up another to come alongside of them to assist them. Do you ever think about that? Sometimes, and I'll go into this more next time we meet in 2 weeks, sometimes you've got to be mindful of this. God may just have you either come alongside of that person or rise up somebody else to come alongside of that person. Galatians 6:2 says this, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's time God would just have us bear one another's burdens. But the point I want you to be left with, and we'll talk more about that, I told you in a couple of Sundays. But what I want you to remember is this. there are always, always consequences for our disobedience. Moses cannot shake his head no to God and not experience a consequence. God's going to raise up Aaron. Aaron's going to be a blessing. But you know what else Aaron's going to be? He's going to be a burden. We're not through our wilderness wanderings, but I'm telling you, Aaron is going to be a burden. Look at your purpose as we're getting close here. Because there are always consequences, some greater than others, for not obeying, I purpose to strive to carry my own burden. That's your Galatians 6, verses 1 through 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. It's one thing when the burden is so heavy that they can't do it, then come alongside of them. But you and I, listen, when God gives us the burden and he expects us to bear it, bear it. Bear it. And what was Moses' response to the compassion of the Lord rising up Aaron to help him? Verse 18 tells us, and Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and he said to him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. What's missing in this verse? What was the real reason Moses was returning to Egypt? Well, God sent me to go to Egypt to bring the people out. Now, why do you suppose he didn't tell Jethro, this priest, these words? What do you think he still lacks? Why don't you tell someone the truth? Because back in the back of your mind, there's still a little doubt. He doesn't tell them the real reason. Oh, I want to go see if my kinfolk are still alive. And the reason God's sending you there is to bring his people out. Well, do you think there's still a few more lessons for Moses to learn concerning faith? Just a few. Do you still have a few more lessons to learn concerning faith, trusting in God and his word? Have you learned anything about the nature of your God today? Have you learned anything about the nature of man today? Use what you've learned to become more and more like your Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful and praising you for who you are. Omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. Oh God, help us to be confident that when you speak to us in your word, you have already given to us the ability to obey. Lord, help us to realize all the excuses that we've made this past week of not obeying you, and how long-suffering you have been. But also, Lord, help us to be mindful that even your long-suffering, your patience, can come to an end. Lord, help us this week to emulate your long-suffering and patience towards those who do not immediately obey our voice. Lord, if it's a matter of us giving them a sign that we will be with them, that we will encourage them, then so be it. But just help us, we pray, Lord, to be more like you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.